Oh, welcome back. Sorry about that. I got distracted. My phone rang just as we came to the end of that.
That was bad timing, wasn't it?
Huh?
I said that was bad timing.
It was, wasn't it? Yes. And you're out of breath as well, aren't
yes.
you?
Just a little jog around the building.
Yeah.
Wake us all up again.
Absolutely. So welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio. We got loads of emails, loads of tweets, and we got another guest to hear from. I'll tell you what, are you all back and seated and ready to go?
Yeah, I got me. I'm fit and healthy. Me, I can get my breath back like that.
What's she trying to say, Karen?
I'm taking the fifth.
you do realise we're going to appear in a book anytime soon.
Yeah, yeah. If only she knew.
I've got my notepad today. I've got my pen. You're all right. You're safe.
Yeah. I haven't seen her taking any notes. We're okay. The FSB is absolutely thrilled to be sponsoring this year's virtual apprenticeship graduation ceremony, which is taking place on the 2nd of October. More details are on their website, which is kandmapgrad.org. Obviously, last year they hosted the first apprenticeship graduation ceremony, which was held at Rochester Cathedral. This year, due to circumstances, they had to go off online, as everything else has, and they've got a fantastic platform which are hosting it, so you can actually go online to watch the ceremony. They have 125 apprentices who are graduating, which wow. I think, even in this time as well, is amazing, so well done. So if you want to fancy checking that out, go and check out their website or follow at FSB Kent on Twitter.
Fantastic. Do you know, I've just had a notice that says we have 110 tweets still outstanding.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, so you're going to have to read them really quickly.
Okay, we've got one here from Brian the Grantsman. Hi, yep. Paul. I'd love a shout-out. Is that too fast? I'd love a shout-out today, please, on the show. I've nearly reached £1 million in grants for SMEs and CICs in Kent, and hoping LOCAS comes back next month so I can get over that milestone. Have a great day. So that's Brian the Grantsman, who helps small businesses find the grant money that they need to keep going, which is fabulous.
Mm. We got dozens and dozens and dozens of tweets of people supporting you in your blight.
That's amazing. I was just having a quick look.
Yeah, in your blight and love and your Roald Dahl appreciation. So loads of people on it. Obviously, we're all of an age where that all had a profound effect on us, and we all go five, go Toto or whatever. And
I don't like Roald Dahl.
You don't like Roald Dahl?
Oh, no. Oh, I'm going to have to plug my ears.
I don't know.
There's so many wonderful opportunities for funny voices as a teacher.
Yeah, yeah, I can imagine. Do you like Dr. Seuss?
Yes, yes.
I like all the meanings and that come out of Dr. Seuss, which is great. But yes, I'm trying to find some. Let me do another email while I'm here.
Yeah, go for it.
Canterbury Festival 2020. Oh, well, that can't be true. We would ignore that one. That's not going to happen. Sorry.
Well, it isn't now.
The Canterbury Festival is definitely not going to go ahead.
Yeah, well, that was 2 days ago. Things have changed
Things have changed quite substantially now.
Yeah, they were going to go ahead as a small scale. I'm sorry, guys. It ain't happening. There's no events happening this year. Adapting the Future of Work is a webinar. Oh, have you done this one with FSB?
No.
Okay, so Thursday the 1st of October from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Is a FSB webinar which will talk about the new world of working and cover working from home, work from anywhere, the benefits of flexible working and ensuring a self-work environment. So, yeah, obviously we're having to hugely adapt, and by the looks of it, adapt again from next week when we all go back to working from home. But it's a great webinar which will help people. So if you go to the fsb.org.uk event calendar and find that one, you can sign up for that, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
The FSB are doing all they can to support small businesses.
Absolutely.
Getting us the right advice, which is fantastic of them.
Absolutely. I've had a tweet from Martin at Charity Buddy. He said, can I possibly have a mention on the Business Bunker Show? Of course you can, Martin. Martin runs an organisation called Charity Buddy, and what he tries to do is think of novel ways to raise funds for different charities.
Aww.
So give him a follow on the Twitter. He works really hard at what he's trying to do. His Twitter handle is Charity Buddy, charity_buddy, and that's Martin. Give him a follow.
Well done, Martin. Some more. I tell you what, have a good check out of the FSB because they have got lots and lots of events on their calendar. Another one is, what's the date today? Tomorrow, Wednesday, 23rd of September from 11am to 12pm. Maximise your membership with What's In It For Me. Now more than ever, it's time to make sure you're making the most of your FSB benefits. So go and check that out. And they also have one on the 21st of October, how to effectively manage your finances and your mental health. I like the way they've put them together.
Mm.
Your finances and your mental health. The virtual event will explain financial support options that are available to you and signpost mental health resources to keep you and your staff healthy. So go to, basically, if you go to fsb.org.uk/event calendar and check out all their events that you can take part in. Brilliant.
Absolutely. We've had a tweet from the lovely folks at Telcare Limited, the telecoms company over there on the Medway City Estate. They said, it's Tuesday, it's the Business Monk Show, and we're listening in.
Great.
So, fantastic. Thank you. That's Lisa, Dave and the team.
And Lisa has also tweeted that... She tweeted. That's a new saying. She has tweeted. Wishing us a good show. She's running around doing a million things at the most, so she's going to listen again later.
If she's twitted, does that mean the past participle is twatted?
Possibly. We could go with that. We like that one.
Come and visit our virtual venue where we're holding V Southeast Construction Expo. Using the latest technology, we can offer all the things that made live events work. Come and visit our virtual venue where we're holding V Southeast Construction Expo. We've built a unique networking and learning environment with great content, live Q&A and informative and expert speakers. Keep the dates free. It's going to be happening probably on the 18th and 19th of November.
Okay.
And you can find out all about it, register your place and ensure that you're ready for it by going to constructionexpouk.co.uk/virtual construction. So that's constructionexpouk.co.uk. Do check that out.
I'm really quite fascinated. I should go to one of these virtual exhibitions because I'm really quite interested to see...
Mm.
You know, how they work.
Be interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah, just to see, I mean, obviously some of the huge events industry exhibitions which should have been happening, and they kept on moving and moving, they've all gone now online, and it's quite interesting to see how much you can interact.
I think some will work better than others, won't they, I suppose? Mm. It depends on the focus, I imagine.
Yeah. Definitely. Now, last week, I caught up with a really interesting chap, and this intrigued me when I first heard about it, because I thought, really?
Mm.
And I'd caught up with Richard Jackson, and Richard is the chief executive of a charity called GateSafe.
Right.
And when they first talked to me, I said, well, what do you do? And they said, well, we're a charity supporting people with electric gates. And I'm thinking, wow. But listen to his story, because it's a fascinating story. It's partly a sad story, but it's what they've done, and they're now celebrating their 10th anniversary, is quite inspiring. So let's have a listen to what Richard has to say. Richard Jackson from GateSafe. It's now a pleasure to welcome to the Business Bunker Show for the very first time, Mr. Richard Jackson. Good afternoon, Richard. How are you?
Yeah, good afternoon. Very well, thank you. And yourself?
Yeah, I'm pretty good, thank you. Thanks for joining us, Richard. Now, when I first came across you, I was kind of intrigued because you run an organisation, a charitable organisation called GateSafe.
Yeah.
And that kind of intrigued me a bit. I wonder what that was about and what an interesting thing to do. So can you give the listeners a quick overview of GateSafe as a charity, what it is you do, and then maybe we can talk about why you do it. And I know that you've got some things that you want to tell us about the charity, but let's kind of set the scene first. So tell us all about it.
Sure. GateSafe is a charity that was formed 10 years ago, and the main thrust of the charity is to train gate automation engineers to install gates safely,
right,
and also to get involved with the specifiers and everyone in the food chain associated with gates. And that's it in a nutshell.
Right, okay. So, I mean, are these primarily automated, you know, the kind of electronic gates that people use these days?
Yeah, it started, say, back in 2010 after two tragedies in Manchester and Bridgend, respectively, where two kiddies were killed.
Right.
And it was very obvious at that point in time that the gates that were installed to keep them safe were, in fact, the reason for their untimely deaths.
Right.
And had they been fitted with the required safety devices, those kiddies would still be alive today.
Right.
So primarily it was for automatic gates, but since then we found issues that there's also problems with manual gates where a single point failure, such as a hinge, leading to it falling. And yep. again, that has led to further tragedies.
Yeah. It's interesting. So out of a tragedy, your charity was born. And, on the face of it, you think, well, that's a bit of a strange thing to have a charity for, gates. But when you describe it, it becomes obvious how important it is. Because, especially with automated gates these days, there's a huge number of people have automated gates. Even in public spaces and public car parks, you can see some pretty odd things sometimes with automated gates and automated entrance systems.
Yeah, you're right. Obviously, being a bit of a gate nerd, yeah. you look at them all individually and you can see problems left, right and centre.
Yeah.
Whether it's a car park barrier that's not suitably protected where pedestrians walk underneath them or gates.
Yeah.
And you talk about the huge number. A few years ago, we did some numbers and we estimated then there was something in the region of 3 million gates in the UK.
Right.
That number's rising every year by in between sort of 300,000 to 400,000 gates every year.
Yeah.
So huge numbers.
Yeah, I can imagine. I don't have automated gates myself. In my drive has an old-fashioned 5-bar gate, which I have to get out of my car and open. But I guess a lot of people now have gates that are driven by phone apps and things.
Yeah, you can get in and out of a gate sort of any which way you like, whether it be a phone app or a magic sensor or... pretty well anything you could imagine.
Yeah.
But the real thrust of it isn't how you get in and out, it's how safe the gate is when it's opening.
Yeah.
A simple 5-bar gate looks fairly straightforward and safe, but the forces around the hinge, if someone were to sort of put their fingers in the wrong place, are immense.
Yeah.
That's the most obvious place. But everywhere around the gate, there are potential risks. And if it's not installed adequately, that's where the dangers lie. And okay. The other thing that we've found is that you find a lot of people putting gates in without the requisite knowledge. They go on the internet, see a kit, think they can install a gate, which they can. They make it open, they make it closed, but it's still dangerous.
Yeah, sure. Let's talk about some of the fundamentals of what you actually do in GateSafe. I'm assuming you provide resources to help people make it safe to have a gate.
Yeah, first and foremost, we do training for engineers.
Right.
At this point in time, we've got nearly 2,000 people we've installed, we've trained.
Right.
And that means they've installed literally thousands of gates safely.
Right.
So that's the prime function. We then go on to try and influence the decision makers, the architects, and everyone associated with gates. And those are the main sort of thrusts of what we're trying to do.
Okay. Do you operate a directory of like accredited trained installers?
Yeah. Everyone that passes the training gets entered onto GateSafe website. Where an end user can type in their postcode and they will find 10 installers that have done the training geographically close to them.
Okay.
That's the one side of the coin. And then the other side is if installers have problems after they've done the training, they can phone us up and say, we've got a situation here. What do you think? Can you help? And that's part of it as well.
Okay, so you can provide guidance and advice and, presumably if they've got something unusual about the space they're putting the gate into, maybe, that you can help with consultative stuff, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. And whether that be a chat on the phone or people sending photos through to help them. The other thing that we have on the website is guidance for users. So Mr. and Mrs. Smith can get on the website and get a domestic user guidance document out.
Okay, so does that guide tell you the kind of things to look out for, the kind of things to ask when you're looking for someone to install your gates?
Yeah, it's a fairly straightforward, plain English guide. What to look out for, as you say, what to ask, where you need to have safety devices. It's not a definitive document that perhaps the installer would use, but it's good enough to give Mr. and Mrs. Joe Public some real guidance to help them.
Yeah, because it's important, isn't it? Because the public aren't experts in any of this. And nowadays we buy things on the internet, so we go and somebody says, "Yep, I install top of the range electronic gates, and it costs X amount of thousands of pounds, and you can get a gate that looks like this." And we think, "Well, that's lovely. I'll have one of those," but you don't really know the ins and outs of it.
No, that's right. One of the things that you know, in these days of COVID and the like, you know, people buy stuff on the internet, as you say. They may have decided then they've been outfaced by it, and they then say to their local electrician, you know, "Can you help out?" And the guy looks at the gear, he thinks, "Yeah, I can do that. You know, I've got the instructions here." But with the kits that you can buy, invariably they haven't got the right equipment in the box to make it safe.
Right.
So what we call the accidental installer is actually leaving the homeowner with a potentially dangerous gate.
Okay. Could you give us some pointers, Richard, about the areas and the issues of safety with these gates? What we should look out for, if you like?
Yeah. On swing gates, the typical gate you'd have on your drive, the main area of concern is around the hinge.
Yeah.
Because if you imagine the gate when it's closing, on the leading edge of the gate, the force is relatively low, but as you get closer to the hinge, it effectively becomes a nutcracker.
Yeah.
So that needs protecting either with a physical guard so you can't poke your fingers where they shouldn't go, or an electronic guard.
Okay.
That's the most important point. There should also be some magic eyes sensors looking across the gateway.
Right.
Because from a safety point of view, we don't want the gate to touch anyone.
Right.
So that's first point. And they'd be on the inside and outside of the gate, looking across the gateway. And if anyone's in the way of those eyes as the gate's closing, it would automatically open.
Right.
Or if they're blocking it when it's operated and you're asked to open, it wouldn't actually move at all.
Right.
And then going one stage further on from that, there will probably be some what are called pressure edges, and it's like a rubber bump strip on the bottom of the gate.
Right.
And if the gate were to come into contact with someone, that bump stop would activate and stop the gate and move it away from them.
Right, okay. And presumably that is as valuable for pets as it is for humans trying to stay out of the way of a gate. Yeah.
In truth, the majority of the people that have automatic gates is either to keep your kids in or your pets in.
Yeah, or both.
And whether it's a kid or a pet, you want it to operate safely. And unfortunately, you know, kids being what they are, they will play on the gate. If it's swinging, they think if they jump on it, it'll be good fun.
Yeah.
But the reality is it's a machine. You know, you wouldn't let your kid jump in your car and give it the keys.
Yeah, yeah.
A gate to a degree is the same.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting. I just kind of, while I'm thinking about all of this, because it's not something I've ever thought about very much, to be honest, which is interesting, because now you start to highlight it, you can see it straight away. And I just wonder what your views are as well. You were talking about the pressure at the hinge of a gate on a swing gate. And I'm assuming that, again, when you install it, you also have to install it in a clear space. And what I mean by that is, I'm just thinking of the entrance to my drive. I've got trees and bushes all over the place here. And, of course, you install something like that, the tree and bush next to it is going to grow. And presumably, eventually, that could jam in the gap of the hinge if you haven't got sufficient cover.
Yeah, you've got to maintain a gate in the same way as you would your car. So if you have got shrubbery growing, that's got to be cut back, got out of the way of the magic eyes, so they're not seeing it unnecessarily.
Yeah.
One of the other areas that you've highlighted is very often the gate will close up against a wall.
Right.
So you may have the same nutcracker effect when the gate's up, opening up against a wall or a brick pier.
Right. Okay. Cool. So there's a lot of issues here. Do you actually go and inspect installations?
Yeah, we can do that. We can do it on two levels. Either we can ask the user to send us in half a dozen photos, you know, from the inside and the outside. If you think about a gate, it's very easy just to think about the inside or the outside, you know. It hurts as much coming when it's opening as when it's closing.
Sure.
A panoramic shot. And we can say with a fair degree of safety that the gate wouldn't be safe from the photos. Right. We can't 100% say it will be safe because you don't know the forces involved.
Right.
If we go one stage further than that, you know, schools, for example, they will very often ask us to come and look at their gates and we'll come out and physically do a check and give them a report.
Yeah, because the vast majority of schools now have electronic access, don't they? And those big green gates that we have in Kent, I don't know if they have them across the rest of the country, but here in Kent they certainly do.
Yeah, no, most schools, or the large ones, have automatic gates. And one of the things we're concerned about now with COVID, where the entrance to schools isn't as it was and people are coming in one gate, going out another, etc. They're probably going through gates that haven't been considered in terms of maintenance for a long time.
Right, yeah, good point.
So, you know, that's another area of risk.
Yeah, no, absolutely, good point. So let's kind of now look at the charity as an organisation. Yeah. When did you start, Richard?
I started back in 2010.
So it's your 10th anniversary.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
At the time, I was the MD of a fencing organisation with a significant turnover, and automatic gates were part of it. And after the accident, it was a real sort of wake-up call.
Right.
I thought we were doing it right, and we were doing it probably better than most.
Right.
But when we looked at it, we were a long way away from perfect.
Right.
We then got involved in the standards. You got British standards covering them, about half a dozen of them.
Right.
And they're so blooming complicated.
Right.
The average installer wasn't going to have a hope in hell of understanding them.
Yeah.
So we put it in plain English, which is really one of the sort of key things that we're all about.
Right.
I then left the company I was working with and focused full-time on GateSafe 6 years ago, nearly 7 years. We're a small team. Myself, Tammy does the admin. I've got a training manager, and Carla's doing PR and marketing for us.
Fantastic.
And one other member of the team.
Right.
So all lean and mean.
That's cool. I mean, that's really good. Where are you based, Richard?
In between Canterbury and Folkestone, in a little hamlet which no one's heard of. But we operate nationally.
Right. I was going to say, you operate nationally. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, since COVID, we were delivering, prior to that, delivering all of the training face-to-face.
Right.
But we've developed it online module now, so we can do it a drop of a hat.
Right.
And we're doing that sort of three or four people at a time, and it's all IOSH accredited, who are the largest health and safety organisation in the UK.
Okay. So, like a lot of people, you've had to adapt what you do to the new normal and go online with it.
Yeah, now, absolutely. I think it's a benefit, actually, because we're doing smaller groups and we're being able to get the message over on a far more personal level.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. It's funny, isn't it, how, you know, adversity sometimes draws these things, and on two levels, I mean that, in terms of where you are now, you've kind of been forced to adopt online, but adversity was the starting point for establishing the charity in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, it shows you that sometimes positives come out of negatives. It's a shame we have to have the negative to make it happen, but even so, you know, we have responded to it, and I think that's brilliant. Now, I know it's going to be difficult, but have you got any plans on celebrating your 10th year, your 10th anniversary?
We had lots of plans, but unfortunately, they've all been knocked into the long grass, let us say.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully, when we do get to something near normal, we'll be able to do something. So watch this space, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a shame, but as you say, you know, we're all kind of suffering from the same thing, and we've had to cancel the things we were intending to do. But I believe you have held conferences in the past, haven't you?
Yeah, we have. We've been to Westminster
right.
On a couple of occasions. We try to change what government's thinking, and again, with Brexit, that's slow work.
Yeah.
But we are working with the Department of Education. We work very closely with the Health and Safety Executive. We're also trying to work with other organisations, insurance, for example, and the likes of Amazon, to stop them selling these kits that are so blooming dangerous. So we've got lots of ideas.
Okay. I just, while talking to you, I also was thinking that the Business Bunker Radio Show is actually sponsored by an organisation called Fit for Trade, and they're specialists in the fenestration and window industry. And basically, they focus on people getting qualifications to work as window fitters, door fitters, and anything in fenestration. And I just wondered if what the situation is with employment in gate fitting. Is it part of a bigger occupation, or is does it tend to be focused on gate fitting? You see what I mean?
Many and varied. There are standalone gate installation companies that will go out and install your gate or maintain your gate. There are other organisations that might get involved with fitting a gate as part of an overall security project. So they're fencing the school and the gate's part of the project. And then probably the more problematical ones are the people that get involved with the gate because perhaps they're doing an intercom system for a school. I'll just plug the intercom into the gate and not fully appreciating what they're doing. It's very fragmented in many ways. But from the construction point of view, we do have anyone that does our training can qualify for the ECS card, which construction companies look at to prove adequate training.
So that you've kind of made an inroad into that, providing a qualification that is recognised, so that so that people that want to do that can both get their staff trained, presumably, and if they're hiring someone with experience, they can insist on them having that vocational qualification. That's really interesting, Richard. It's amazing how a topic that I know nothing about at all, and you know, when I first heard about it, I thought, well, it's a gate. What's it do? It opens, it closes. but it just shows you, doesn't it, how much there is to learn about things that we don't know about, if you see what I mean.
You don't know what you don't know.
Exactly. And I just going on from that, my only personal experience outside of using them are of automated openings are garage doors. Is that something you deal with, or is that a completely different issue?
We don't deal with garage doors. The advantage that a garage door operator has compared with a gate is it's in a fairly sterile environment. By that I mean it's not really affected by the wind. If you imagine on a windy day, if you've got a solid gate, the forces on that gate can be immense and cause all sorts of problems mechanically and electronically. Whereas a garage door in the main is safer. And I can't say that I'm an expert, but I think they're probably generally installed to a better standard than gates, or certainly historically.
Look, it's been fascinating talking to you, Richard, and you certainly opened my eyes about things. So, you know, when I get round to being able to afford electronic gates, I'm going to certainly know where to come to have a look to make sure I'm getting a proper service and a safe service. Thank you so much for that. Massive congratulations on your 10 years in operation. That's no mean achievement for an organisation these days. If people want to find out about what you do, get advice or whatever, what's your? I guess your website is the best place.
Yeah, absolutely.
So can you give
gate-safe.org.
Fantastic. So it's gate-safe.org. We'll put that link onto the radio website so that people can find it. Richard, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Congratulations on your 10 years in business, and here's to the next 10 years.
Thank you very much indeed. We'll certainly look forward to 10 years' time to have another chat.
Absolutely. Well, we might do it sooner than that, but absolutely.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
That's very interesting.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Can I speak now?
You can.
No, I can't.
Hey, Paul Andrews.
Such a professional organisation.
Now you can speak.
That was very interesting.
It was very... It was a fascinating thing, wasn't it? And when you first hear about it, as I did, you think, really? But once Richard started telling you the ins and outs of it and some of the horrible things that had happened and why it's not... you suddenly realise why it's so necessary. And with so many people having automated and electronic gates these days, and, you know, those hinges are...
They're heavy things, aren't they? Yeah.
Well, I guess it's one of those things, isn't it? Unless it happens to you, you don't know it exists or it happens. So you need somebody like him to raise awareness of it to prevent it from happening in the first place.
Absolutely. Is the mother of invention, don't they say?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it was really good. And all power to them and what they're doing. And they're providing a really fantastic service. You know, if you want to install automatic gates, if you go to their website, it will recommend trained installers of people that know what they're doing. And why wouldn't you do that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Cool. What you got, Amanda?
I've got loads of emails here, and seeing as I'm departing soon, I better get through some of them, haven't I? So have a look at this new exciting initiative from ZC Social Media, the Growth Academy member site, which Karen knows very much about.
I cannot recommend it highly enough.
Fabulous. With the amazing Zoe and Gareth Cairns. These guys don't know about social media. It's just not worth knowing about. These
absolutely
are
fabulous,
gurus.
Yeah.
Tell you what, when I first started my business 5 years ago, I literally used to go to every networking meeting or anything where Zoe was speaking just so I could learn. And she's the one that helped me implement all of my social media strategies.
She's great.
She's fantastic.
Great. And if she can drag me into the 21st century, there is hope
for everybody. So if you go to zcsocialmediaacademy.com, it's a membership site all about social media and digital. So you're going to learn so much. They do so much. They do lives, Q&A, help you plan, create. Fantastic. So go
it's
and check
for
that out.
Networking as well. Very supportive. Really good.
I have to say, I have to just raise this, that our audience are obviously of an age because they've all descended on Twitter into something that Karen started earlier saying about Enid Blyton. And we've now had half an hour of reminiscing about the Flowerpot Men, Bill and Ben, Tales of the Riverbank.
I see Bev has just brought in Pinky and Perky.
Exactly. Pinky and Perky have turned up. And then someone started a conversation about what Andy Pandy and Luby Lou get up to in front of weed in a basket or something. I lost the plot somewhere along the way.
Rainbow. Line. Rainbow's the one. Have you ever seen that video about Rainbow? Right.
Yeah,
his clangers.
There's some quite funny ones out there, isn't there?
Hysterical.
It explains why we all grew up like we did.
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. FSB Maidstone have a virtual networking event on Wednesday the 30th of September between 4 and 5 p.m.
Is a networking event a bit like a networking event?
No, it's not. It's virtual.
Networking.
Yeah. No, it's virtual. It's not real. That's when it's working. It's Peter Searle's hosting this free FSB Connect online event with Metroback. She's in one of those moods. She started on about fluffy toys last night. I'm not even going to go there.
It was so funny.
Anyway, a networking virtual event with Peter Searle on the 30th of September between 4 and 5. If you go to fsb.org.uk event calendar, you find out all about it.
He asked me what comes with a Samsung phone. So I said a cuddly toy.
I get it.
Yeah. I didn't.
It was really annoying me.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And generation game with
exactly.
toys.
Exactly. Yes. She got it.
The conveyor belt.
Don't encourage her, Karen. She started. I was in the middle of doing something and I needed to know the answer to the question. And she went into hysterics about how funny she'd been. And then when I went up to bed, she put a cuddly toy in the bed. And it was just.
It
was just really annoying.
Bounce back loan scheme. Have you got your bounce back loan yet? Come on, all small businesses out there, get onto this if you need a little bit of support. This is going on for, you know, this is going to be a long time before this pandemic's over and we're back to stable. So it closes on the 4th of November. You can get a small business loan between 2 and 50k, no repayments for 12 months, and then just 2.5% interest. So amazing. If you go to or follow at British B Bank on the Twitter, there's a website, british-business-bank.co.uk, or even if you just go onto the KCC website and do bounce back loans, your most banks are doing it. My bank, Santander, didn't do it, but definitely get yourself some support and some money.
Especially now, because it looks like we're going to be moving back into more kind of towards lockdown. Faversham Town Council have asked for feedback. They've got an open evening on the 30th of September at Faversham Town Hall, which is 12 Marketplace Faversham, and your feedback is needed on doing business in Faversham. It could be a business of any kind, from sole trader to a listed company. They're particularly interested in views on the likely future business needs of the town, especially around premises, people and supporting infrastructure. If you've got any thoughts on this, they'd like to hear from you, and you can email it to John Irwin. That's Irwin with an I. IRWIN. If you email john.irwin@favershamtowncouncil.gov.uk.
Fabulous. Now I have to run.
Say goodbye to your fans.
I say goodbye to my fans. Mm. Goodbye, fan. It's been lovely co-hosting today. I have to now go queue social distancing, queue outside the school, get the child. Anyway, don't even go there. It's been great being on.
Fantastic.
I'm going to pass these last three emails over to Karen because she's well read, so she can do them for you.
Excellent.
Okay. Reading
excellent.
Test for me.
And I'll be back again soon, hopefully.
You will. You will. And we'll see you later.
Yeah.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, Amanda.
Bye.
Bye. Cool. On the 8th of October, there's a digital and skills in industry event, and it's the Southeast LEP. And it's join us at the inaugural Southeast LEP Skills Advisory Panel and Digital Skills Partnership Conference. We'll be hearing from industry sector leaders about their take on the challenges and opportunities facing key local sectors, and from digital leads about efforts to drive improved digital capabilities across the region. And we'll invite your views on the day too. It's an online thing. You can find out about it by going to eventbrite.co.uk/digital skills industry. That's eventbrite.co.uk/digital skills industry. What you got, Karen? I've got a new co-host.
Hey!
Yay.
No pressure. Big shoes to fill there.
Yeah.
So this is Enter the Beams Summer Virtual Raffle so that we can support more families of disabled children that are in need this summer. COVID-19 has had a devastating effect on vulnerable families in Kent this summer. Many have been unable to leave their homes, which has led to extreme distress and in some cases a family breakdown. Now more than ever, they need our help. Please enter the Beams Summer Virtual Raffle now and show your support. It's just £2 a ticket, and to purchase your tickets, please visit https://. We are Beams, so weareBeams.enthuse.com/virtual raffle. And then there's a hashtag and an exclamation mark. So there's some fantastic prizes on offer, including £100 Blue Water voucher,
wow,
£40 voucher for Highlights Hair Salon, £25 voucher for Paula Florist, £20 voucher for Beautiful Nails Dartford, £10 voucher for Davenport's Hair and Beauty Dartford, breakfast for two at Bella Venezia Dartford, fruit and vegetable hamper from Stanhill Farm Shop Wilmington. And the closing date is the 30th of September and the draw is on the 1st of October. So that's fundraising at wearebeams.org. Or visit wearebeams.org.
Fantastic and beautifully read. Thank you,
thanks,
Karen. From the 1st of October, HMRC will pay 60% of your usual wages up to a cap of £1,875 per month for the hours that furloughed employees do not work.
Wow.
So from the 1st of October, your employees can come back to work partially.
Right.
But no matter what, whether they do no hours or some hours, HMRC will only pay 60% of the wage. And what do you need to do from the 1st of October? You need to continue to pay your furloughed employees at least 80% of their usual wage.
Right.
So even if they're not working, you've got to pay
20%. Yeah.
The government are going to pay 60%.
Right.
And that's for a cap up to £2,500. So they've got it's capped at £2,500 between you and the government. basically. You'll need to fund the difference between this and the coronavirus job retention scheme grant yourself. The caps are proportional to the hours not worked. For example, if your employee is furloughed for half their usual hours in October, you are entitled to claim 60% of their usual wages for the hours they do not work, up to £937.50. You must still pay your employees at least 80% of their usual wage for the hours they don't work. So for someone only working half their usual hours, you need to pay them up to £1,250, which is half the £2,500 cap.
Cracky.
Yeah. Funding the remaining portion yourself. For help with calculations, no, really.
It might need a little bit of help. My mind is blown.
Search calculate how much you can claim using the coronavirus job retention scheme on gov.uk. You'll also continue to pay your furloughed employees national insurance and pension contributions from your own funds. Please make sure your data's right. Yeah, we would if we could make head nor tail of what you're doing. It's important that you provide all the data we need to process your claim. Payment of your claim may be at risk or delayed if you submit a claim that's incomplete or incorrect, and we want to help you get this right. We'll stop making it so complicated then. Yeah. We'll get in touch if we see any employee data missing from your previous claims. If you want to find out more about this or talk to them about it, if you go to www.gov.uk/contact-HMRC. That's gov.uk.
You might want to get yourself a calculator.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a little bit complicated, so do go and look it up before you do it.
Okay, so I've got one here. This is Brighter Futures. Did we already do Brighter Futures?
I feel like so.
Okay.
Maybe we did.
So if we've done this already, I apologise. But book your place on the Brighter Futures online event and discover how your business can access a range of training and support programmes, as well as being able to virtually meet and talk to potential trainees. The practical and informative online morning session will cover how businesses can access and capitalise from the Chancellor's new employment initiatives. The event also explores the care leaver covenant and how business can tap into undiscovered talents and benefit by getting involved to give a young adult a career boost. Save the date is the 28th of October, and there it's online from 9 until 11:40 a.m. and they're covering there's an address by Medway Council CEO, there's the Kickstart Programme, Care Leaver Covenant, apprenticeships funding, and hear from an apprentice and employer. And then the afternoon session, there's a live online meet or interview potential trainees. So you can book. It's an outstanding opportunity to bring together Medway businesses and enthusiastic, capable trainees. Book your place now by emailing skills@medway.gov.uk, and we look forward to welcoming you online.
Cool. Chris has asked, did I miss a mention of Holly? Yes, you did, Chris, because you were late on parade, mate, and we mentioned Holly right at the start of the show, at the beginning of part one.
Snooze, yeah. You lose.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, get on parade a bit earlier. So we did give it a big shout-out, yeah, so you can hear it again if you missed it right at the start of the show. Everybody's still on Twitter is going on, Karen, about kids' stuff.
Well, I'm a bit disappointed nobody has mentioned finger bobs,
right,
or bagpuss,
right,
or the magic roundabout.
Absolutely. Time for bed.
Or Captain Pugwash.
Oh, yeah. Well, we won't go there.
which explains a lot.
Absolutely. And for me, I go back even further to Muffin the Mule.
Oh, crikey.
Yeah. And, of course, if you come forward a little bit, Twizzle and Torchy Boy. Yeah.
Oh, I missed those. Yeah, I missed Twizzle and Torchy Boy. Yeah.
So do keep it up. But while we're talking about that, and I started to ask you, and then we kind of run out of time about your children's books.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about the children's books that you've written to stop this lot living in the 1950s.
Yeah, let's move on with our lives, shall we? Yeah. I write a lot of children's poetry, and I love to write poetry about stories with a moral. And I write poems. One of my books called A Wild Goose Chase. It's based on what you call an idiom.
Right.
So, and actually is about a wild goose who's very angry, you know, geese alike. And throughout the poem, he learns the error of his ways, and the animals get him to chase them until he learns that a wild goose chase brings you no joy.
So this is kind of Roald Dahl meets Aesop, really.
Well, yeah, I suppose. Well, that's an accolade. I'll take that one. But I've written loads of Don't Count Your Chickens Till Your Eggs Are Hatched and Actions Speak Louder Than Words, Cheetahs Never Prosper, that kind of thing. And I also wrote a chapter book called My Great Granny Moo, which is very reminiscent of Famous Five and all of those influences. Based on my husband's gran was called Muriel, and she was called Moo for short. So right. My great granny Moo. That's for me. That the book always comes after. I get a title, and then I've sort of got the book, if you right. know what I mean. And this is about a young girl called Molly who loves her gran, and her gran goes missing because she's gone to see Auntie Dottie.
Right.
And her mum says, "Oh, don't worry, you know, gran's just gone to Auntie Dottie's." But she later learns that Dottie is the Department of Tricky International Investigations, and her gran is actually an international spy. So.
Well, she would be,
wouldn't she?
Yeah, yeah.
Whose gran is an international
Absolutely.
Spy.
Oh, that's fabulous. Yeah, you obviously enjoy reading those books, writing those books as well.
Do you know, I enjoy writing as much as I enjoy reading. Yeah. And I think that's kind of a good thing. If you're not enjoying writing it, you've got to ask yourself, because then your reader probably won't either.
Exactly. You know, I'm as I said earlier, I'm a massive book reader. Yeah. I always have been. One day, maybe after the show, I'll tell you my experiences at school about reading, which were hilarious.
Yeah.
But I've always been a big reader. My mum taught me to read before I even went to school.
Right.
So I've always read books. But you know what? I hate writing.
Oh, really?
I really detest writing. Yeah. I can't write anything. I can't even write a letter. I can't even write an email. I just can't get into it.
Horses for courses, isn't it? I think, you know, like, I'm pretty much a laughing stock amongst my friends and family. If anyone knows anything about me and sport, I mean, and anything to do with any kind of ball sports or running or... Mm. If I live to be a million, I'll never be any good at it. It's just not my thing and I don't enjoy it. So, but that's absolutely fine.
Absolutely.
You know, we've all got our strengths, and I think
that's the crucial thing, isn't it?
Play and to those, I think, is wise advice.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. You know, and sometimes the society leads us into thinking that unless we do one thing well, then, you know, we're failures. And I don't want to get into a deep discussion about this, but as someone that just didn't get on with school, I think one of the problems with our education system is it's very, you know, at senior levels, it's very geared to passing those exams.
Yep.
Nobody ever stops and asks why.
No.
Yeah. And those of us that can't do it get tarred with the brush of failure very early on. You know, I don't see how that serves us in any way. If you're good at doing exams, then do exams, you know.
Yeah.
If you're good at academic stuff, then do academic stuff. But the other 70% of us that aren't need to do something else.
You're preaching to the converted.
Yeah,
anyone
absolutely.
Who ever talked with me ever for even 5 minutes will know that is my absolute soapbox. We don't give enough children enough of a chance to shine. We don't allow them to pursue their talents. We try and squeeze them all into a box and tell them if they don't fit that box, then they're a failure, which... Nothing quite yanks my chain like that.
Yeah,
I've got
no,
to be
absolutely. Absolutely. We've narrowed far too narrowly what talents are.
Yeah, most definitely.
I want to talk about this. We're getting a bit deep now, but this is important. And I'm a trustee of this organisation, and this is an important thing that I want to tell you about. There's 8.4 million people in the UK are now at high risk of over drinking.
Yeah.
Whilst government funding to support helping with alcoholism and addiction has declined.
Yeah.
Following the pandemic, the Royal College of Psychiatrists have analysed data from Public Health England pointing towards higher-risk drinking being as much as a fifth. Using population estimates from the Office of National Statistics, this figure equates to more than 8.4 million people. High-risk drinking is classed as drinking over the recommended levels of no more than 14 units of alcohol a week, which roughly equates to seven pints of average-strength lager or seven glasses of average-strength wine.
Right.
Drinking at levels such as this can not only lead to dependency, but also result in other health issues such as liver disease, stomach ulcers, pancreatitis and depression. This is being reflected in a number of hospital admissions due to alcohol-related issues being up 80% in 2018-19, with nearly 2.3 million people being admitted, up 61% since 2008.
Crikey.
At Kenwood Trust, a charity based in Yording, just outside Maidstone, say a significant proportion of individuals who access their service rely on statutory funding to be able to receive their life-changing support.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've definitely felt the impact of funding being cut year after year. Despite this, the Trust are continuing to provide their life-changing support year on year and are working on on creating services that are inclusive and accessible as possible to ensure that those individuals who are looking for support can access some. This year alone, they have stayed open throughout the pandemic by introducing a quarantine period upon admission, so their residential services to keep their residents and staff safe, and launching new exciting services such as day treatment, which can be run remotely at this present time, but will provide more in-depth support once COVID-19 guidelines allow it and they can run group sessions safely.
Amazing.
To find out more about the work of Kenwood Trust and the services they provide, and to donate some money, they didn't say that, I said
no,
this,
yeah.
And to donate some money, visit their website, kenwoodtrust.org.uk. That's Kenwood, K-E-N-W-A-R-D, kenwoodtrust.org.uk. They do a fabulous job. It's a residential care centre for people with addictions of drugs and drink and any other form of addiction, based in Yalding, just outside Maidstone.
Amazing.
Have you got anything else to read, Karen?
I've got one more tiny little one here. It says, whatever your business strengths, you need to shout out about them. Why not enter the hashtag MStone Awards 2020 and do it now? And it's a free entry. And that's www.businessawardskent.co.uk. So you can shout out about your business strengths. So it's hashtag, excuse me, capital M Stone, capital A Awards 2020.
Fantastic. Fantastic. I've had a tweet from Beverly Bunn, Beverly Bunn Glass Art. And she says, great show today, Karen.
Ah, she's
she
great, old Beverly.
Karen is brilliant. She certainly is, and we've got her working as well. So not only is she being a guest, she's also being a co-host all of a sudden, which is fabulous, and we do appreciate it. We're almost at the end of the show. I've got a couple of more things to tell you about. A really good friend of mine, Ben Legg, has pivoted.
a pivoter.
Yeah. I'll tell you a bit about Ben to start with. Ben is a former senior executive of Coca-Cola, and he was also the chief operations officer for Google for Europe.
Right.
And latterly, he was chief executive of AdKnowledge, a big Kansas-based advertising organisation. And he says, do you know professionals who are at a crossroads and need some fresh ideas for their career? If you do, I may be able to help. My 60-minute weekly portfolio career workshop is still going strong after 4 months, and I've added a second weekly time slot. It now runs at 4 p.m. and 5:30 p.m. on Wednesdays. With unemployment skyrocketing and so few permanent jobs on offer, more and more people are considering a portfolio career.
Marvellous.
If you know of anyone who needs some fresh ideas for their career, please give them the offer code through the Business Bunker show, and this will avoid the £25 fee for the workshop.
Ah.
So if you put the offer code TPC Friends, you get the workshop free of the £25.
Mm-hmm.
And the workshop page is portfolio-collective.com. Portfolio Career Workshop. That's portfolio-collective.com/portfolio-career-workshop, and that's Ben Legg.
Wonderful.
So thank you for that, Ben.
Wonderful.
Yeah. We're nearly there, and I've only got a couple of things left to read. I've still got tweets coming in. They go mad. Yeah, you need to tell us something before we go off air as well.
I've got something quite exciting.
Yeah, you go
for
it then, Karen.
I'm ridiculously excited about this. It's something I've wanted to do for a really long time, and it's now finally come to fruition. This is my Rite of Passage Growth Academy, which is launching on October the 1st. So the deadline to enrol is September the 30th. I'm only doing quarterly intake, so get it while it's hot, as it were. So it's a personalised writing course that's designed to help you release your inner writer, whether it be for pleasure or for business. And there's weekly mini courses and Zoom tutorials on a range of writing topics, from fiction to non-fiction, writing for a target audience and writing for different genres. There's weekly challenges to help you improve your writing skills and make you adept at writing different styles. There's weekly Q&A sessions with me, so you can ask questions and get real-time feedback for your work. And I've got some really cool guest speakers lined up, from authors to publishers and experts in marketing to motivational speakers and confidence coaches.
Wow.
And also to build a supportive network. So I really hope you'll think about joining. I'm not going to make you loads of paper promises like ridiculous, you know, you're going to write a bestseller in a week, but what I can promise you is that I'll take you on a fabulous writing journey that will bring you a real sense of achievement. And you can find me at Karen Stanley Author on Facebook, or you can find details about the course on karenstanley-author.co.uk.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Thanks for that, Karen. We're at the end of the show. I want to say a huge thank you to the stunningly gorgeous Amanda Flanders for co-hosting this week's show, to our brilliant guest, Karen Stanley, author and all-round perfect co-host as well, to our guest Richard Jackson, CEO of GateSafe, to all of you that contributed to the show with tweets, listening and emails. Thank you so much. We'll be back with another show next week. Thank you for joining the Business Bunker Show. Have a safe week, everybody, and we'll see you all soon.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye for now.
Bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews. This is Channel 2.